God bless you. I'm Aaron Cunningham, and tonight we're going to do an advanced teaching in our Heavenly Father's Word with a foundation in the Hebrew and the Greek. This is an advanced teaching, so if you have questions, please feel welcome to contact us with any kind of questions, concerns, but we just thank you for, invite you to the teaching tonight. But before we get started, I'd like to have a word of prayer. We thank Heavenly Father. We thank you that you and your son are in this room. We thank you that tonight, as people tune in or they watch us, even 100 years from now or whatever, that we really don't want to hear Aaron talk. I'm just a below average human being, but what we'd like to do is we'd like to humble ourselves and invite you. We know that as you listen to our hearts, and if we humble ourselves, that not only will you work through me, but you'll work through the people that are listening to help teach them. We thank you for helping us not just go through the motions, but just as somebody that goes into a class, the students who really want to excel in that class, and they take notes. What a blessing that is for the teachers. But we thank you for us taking notes with our heart today on the tablets of our heart, listening to you. And we give you an invitation. Just as you walked in the cool of the day with your son and daughter, we thank you for walking with us this evening and walking through us and moving through me and helping me step out of the way. So as we give an introduction, a round of applause to the Creator of the universe and His resurrected Son who is seated at His right hand, we thank you for all these things and for Telios Ministries for making all this available. We claim victory through Christ Jesus. Now, the teaching tonight, all the teachings are based out of the Rotherham Emphasized Bible. It's a literal translation. It's the closest thing that you can get to actually reading the Hebrew and Greek. If you'd ever like a demonstration or why it's more accurate than other translations, then please contact us. But before we start, 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 39, it says, "Therefore, my brother, be zealous to prophesy, and do not forbid people to speak in tongues." So what we're going to do tonight is usually different than most Bible studies, is we're going to obey those commandments to prophesy. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Unless you're a prophet, none of us in here are prophets. So the book of 1 Corinthians was written to a church like you and I. It also says that we're supposed to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is real important. 14 verse 4, it says, it builds you up. How many Christians out there are wearing out? You're having a hard time with obedience. Hello! He gave you an easy button. Why don't you push that easy button? You got a turbocharger. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, speaking in tongues is a perfect prayer. I'm just depressed. I don't know how to get out of this rut, or I don't know how to get out of this sin. You can speak in tongues to make your life a lot easier. So that's what we're going to do tonight is we're going to speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy. So we thank Heavenly Father for these words that we're about ready to hear, and we thank you for the Ruach, or the Holy Spirit that is within us, that we can prove that Christ died on a cross. And it's not just with nice words and stuff, but we can manifest. Just as we can manifest gravity in this room, we know that you are in this room, and we can do it because your Spirit lives within us. Elijah, would you like to start off?
Speaking in tongues, or...
It's up to you.
Okay. My children, you must not be embarrassed to speak and say about Yahweh in front of your friends that think his, that just don't believe that much about him. You must tell them about me, and you will be blessed very, very much. Amen.
I'll give a word of prophecy. My sons and my daughters, know that I have a great plan for you. I have wonderful plans. Know that when a father and a mother's daughter gets married, that the mother and the father take great pride in the plans and preparing for that day because they love and adore their daughter. Know that I also do the same thing with you every day. So come to me. Do not hesitate to speak to me on matters. In fact, I wish you would come to me on more matters because I want a relationship and I want to work things out together.
Be bold, for I am proud of you. For stand fast, for I am with you. I am in you and be proud.
Blessed children, knock and the door shall be open. Ask and you shall receive. Without these actions, you receive nothing. Know that I have called you to do that which I have told you. I have told you what I wish for you to do. Be obedient. As you walk out or through that door that I place right directly in front of you, as you open that door, you will see beautiful, beautiful things that I've created just for you. Not just the flowers and the bees and the trees and the green grass. Not just all of your needs to be met, but you will see my creation in its fullest. I wish for you, I want for you, each individually, to see this.
Separate yourselves. Come to me and know that I can neutralize the distractions and the problems and the things that are within your lives. That as a ball of string in a pocket gets matted and balled up and knotted, that this is not the desire that I have for you and for my children, but to place you in a green pasture, that I may be able to put my breeze upon you and seek these things that I, as you come before me and you bow yourself down, that I will be able to give you response. I will be able to be with you, that I have been with my children in the past day and night that I tended to them, and you as my child in my son's body, I hold you in high esteem that I am able to do these things that I have promised.
I'll speak in tongues and interpret. Yumishiketa zakeshinomosuku utisikinamasakata zakeshu inomosukutu sukunish ishamana sakatosuk. My dearest and beloved children, know that I'm calling you out. I'm calling you to have a close relationship with me. Not just your needs and your wants or your desires, not just your problems, but for your everyday, for day-to-day on what grocery store to go to or what gas station. Just know that relationship with me is important. Just because the dreams that I have put forth in your life or the desires in your heart will come to pass if you just come to me.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all these words. And I just got a word of knowledge. There's a woman that's watching. She might be a young woman. You're going through a very lonely time of loneliness, and you feel like you're spinning your wheels, and you feel meaningless. You don't even feel valuable. This teaching is for you. Your life's going to be changed. Nothing will be the same again. There's been a lot of prayers, a lot of things, and there's been a lot of hanging in there, and you have not quit. But this teaching tonight is just made specifically for you, to give you hope. Just as Yehoshua or Jesus Christ, he specifically went to individuals. And there are certain people where their hearts were so ready for truth. They were so ready for just what our Heavenly Father's opinion was, not with the other people, so tired with the noise and the confusion, that Yahweh sent His Son to specifically individual people. So as He sent me to you, and this teaching is for you, to deliver you. So take great joy that there's been a custom message that's been delivered, and it's going to feed everybody. Just as a woman at the well, her life was changed forever, so did that testimony change everything. But this was specifically meant for you, whoever you are. I thank Heavenly Father for those words. Now we're going to start off in the book of Acts, the first chapter.
Elijah, I'll be back here.
Acts what? I'm sorry.
Chapter 1. Okay. Acts chapter 1. What's neat, in the beginning of the Acts chapter 1, this is after Christ was crucified. He was resurrected, then he came back and he met with his disciples. Can you imagine the joy of seeing him again? You know? I mean, he's back. He's back, guys. He's back. He's back. He looks really good. Yeah, and it's even better than ever. Wow, and here it is. And going, wow, he's back. It was great. The end of John, he was sitting down with his disciples. The resurrected Christ and his disciples, can you imagine sitting around a campfire? Here he is. He's back. Oh, man, he's back. And he looked at me, breathed on him. He goes, he said, receive ye Holy Spirit. And what this meant to those Jews was back in the Old Covenant, when somebody received Holy Spirit, they received power. And you would know that they received the Holy Spirit because they would manifest it with mighty works or wisdom, prophets, Samson's work, David's work. Think about the people that received the Holy Spirit. And they sat there as they breathed on them. Did they receive Holy Spirit then? No, they didn't. Mm-hmm. He was teaching them. They're going, what did that mean? What did that mean? What did that mean? That's John chapter 20, 19. And tonight he's going to give you some words. And he doesn't answer all of his questions. A lot of times what he does is he teases you. And he poses questions. You go, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And he wants you to seek him out. It might be for a later day. Isn't that great though? Think about the movies and stuff where they leave riddles. And you get done at the end of like a great movie, like The Hobbit or something, going, I don't have closure. That's right. I want you to come back. Come back. I got to wait till next December. Oh, no. Here. Our Father is a good writer, okay? He's a wonderful writer. As we read through people's lives, you're going to see disparity, this and that. And you're going to be saying, wow, it always works out for those who choose Yahweh. It always works out, doesn't it? Yeah. It's the same thing with you. He's writing a book. He's writing a life. He's writing a testimony in you. And when I was a kid, there was a movie called The Neverending Story. And here's this boy reading it, and all of a sudden he goes into the book. You are going into a book tonight. Okay? You're going into a book. And what we're going to do is give an out-of-body experience about what's going on in your life. And Yahweh and Yahushua are going to show you. They're writing things in your life. And what you think might be the end of the world. Well, if this was a good book, well, if let's just say this is a regular book. And I'm halfway through it, and the hero's done. There's no way he's going to get delivered. I'm going all about all the stress. I'm going, oh no, Bilbo Baggins can't make it out of this one. Oh my goodness. Then I go, well, wait a minute. There's a lot of the book left, right? I know that Tolkien's a good writer. Well, there's got to be something else. Well, guess what? There's catches in your life. And if you're going through something dark, and it looks hopeless, and you're about ready to quit on something, that's perfect time for a hero, isn't it? Right. At the end of me is the beginning of deliverance. I found that in my own life. I got to run out of Aaron. Once I run out of Aaron, Aaron becomes really good. I'm not even an above average person. I'm a below average human. And I sat there one time and I was like, I was just being honest. I was pouring out my heart. And I was getting ready to lift some weights. I said, you know what? I can really do nothing without you. Mm-hmm. Of myself, I can't do anything. I'm not real smart. I'm not the best looking guy. I'm not that charming. But through you, I can do everything. And that's what it matters. So at the edge of you, if you're at the edge of whoever your name is, you insert at the edge of Elijah in a certain area, the end of Donna, perfect. You're at the edge of a cliff. Whoa. It's the beginning of the best part of your story. Because if you're at the edge of a cliff and you look and he's saying, keep coming, it's just like Peter getting out of the boat. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The first narrative indeed made I concerning all things, O Theophilus, which Yahushua began both to do and teach until the day which, having given command to the apostles through the Holy Spirit, small s, he had chosen, he had taken up, unto whom he had also presented himself, after he had suffered many sure tokens, through 40 days, making himself visible unto them, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God, or Yahweh. And being in company with them, he charged them from Jerusalem not to absent themselves, but to abide around the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. Because Yochanan, or John, indeed immersed with water, but ye in holy Ruach, or Holy Spirit, shall be immersed not many days after these. Why did he tell them not to make themselves absent from Jerusalem? Interesting. I gotta quit saying interesting, by the way. I say it too much. The day of Pentecost is coming. It was a very holy day. 50 days. 50, and all the Jews had to go to Jerusalem. We know Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost and all the rest of it. That's Acts 2, right? Okay, so why did he tell them not to be absent from Jerusalem? They probably would have normally been in Jerusalem, right? Yeah, they're Jews. Did they revere Yahweh? Yeah. Who killed Jesus Christ? Oh, there's very religious Jews. That's right. And who's going to be at this holy day of the day of Pentecost? Very, very religious Jews. Uh-oh. What happened to Peter? As far as we know, Peter was the only person that is written in print that followed Jesus Christ as he was taken off. And they looked at him and they associated and go, oh, it's one of them! Peter was not a scaredy cat. When he cut off Malchus's ear, he was ready to lay down his life. What was he afraid of? He's going, okay, wait a minute. But here's the deal is, Yehoshua said, do not depart from Jerusalem. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's coming. Why would they not be there? Possibly because they're afraid of persecution. Are you a believer? Hey, if you even say the name Yahweh, you're persecuted. People will call you a cult. The name that's written more than any other name in the Bible. If you say his name, they go, you're weird. I go, oh, wow, that's interesting. But anyways, don't make yourself absent. Why? Now, verse 8. After you're receiving the Holy Ruach, which he promised. He promised him in John 20. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, which should be small h, small s, cometh upon you. And you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the uttermost parts of the land. The word power is the Greek word dunamis. It's a really neat word. There's a lot of Greek words for power. Kratos, dunamis, and authority, exousia. And the neat thing, the longest sentence there is in the Bible is Ephesians 1. It's the biggest run-on there is. And it has a beginning, and it has an ending. And why is all this favor and grace upon people? Because it says the sacred secret, we have the kratos, the exousia, the dunamis is in us now. And now we got it. But this word dunamis, it is Strong's number, let me see here, 1411. E.W. Bolger explains this word, inherent power. The power of reproducing itself. That's not running out of power. It's not like having to go to the gas station. It's not like having to charge my phone or my iPad. The power that can reproduce itself. I was at a gas station one time with my son, and was about 4 or 5 years old. And he just followed me because I didn't like leave him in the car. And he saw somebody take something out of their wallet and stick this plastic thing in this little box. And we stuck this plastic thing in the box, money came out. And he saw this thing, he goes, Dad. He started tugging on my shirt. He said, hold on a second, time out. I'm paying for things, just relax. What's the emergency? He goes, I want one of those cards. I go, what card? He goes, a person stuck a card in a machine and it gave them money. And it'll give you money whenever you want. All you need is a card. I had to explain, it only gives you what you take out. But the concept was, he was thinking, this is a source of like living water, it's not going to run out. Well, Yahweh, dunamis, is reproducing itself. What was he telling the disciples? You're going to receive dunamis. Do you think they were worried about running out of power? Yeah, he's getting ready to leave again, guys. A lot of Christians say, if Jesus Christ or Yehoshua would just show up, then everything would be fine. He doesn't need to be here. He's inside us. He's inside you. He's inside there. And now we have dunamis. Now, sometimes, just like with a smartphone, some people might have all these apps and they don't know how to use it. When we were in Africa, some of the guys from some of the villages had never even seen a smartphone. And my brother Israel starts talking to it and doing these things, and they're like, look at this. Look at this marvelous thing. And they go, the digital phones. These must be digital phones. I've never heard of them before. Digital phones and this and that. And we hit these things, and they go, how did you ever learn how to maneuver in this type of thing? I said, it's already got the apps. I'm not really that smart. You hit the app. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit, guys. I have the apps. You have the apps. I'm going to show you how to use one of your apps, the Holy Spirit that's within you. Now, how would you like to know where to find this dunamis? Because we know the Holy Spirit came, right? The church was born in Acts 10. So now we have Christ living inside of us, the hope of glory. Now we are the body of Christ, a new creation, a new mold, right? But we don't always feel like we have dunamis. We don't feel like we have power, do we? No, we don't. Turn to Acts, 2 Corinthians. Let's find out how a way, not the way, but a way you can receive dunamis. The easiest way you can receive power is by obeying the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. If you speak in tongues, you build yourself up. That's the easiest way. And so I do that with bodybuilding and weight. I say, if you want to stay weak, don't speak in tongues. If you want to get strong, speak in tongues. It's just an easy act. Like, wow. But we're going to find out a way to receive dunamis power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9. And at once he said unto me, sufficient for thee is my favor, for my power in weakness is made complete. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast in my weakness, that the power of Mashiach, or the power of Christ, may spread a tent over me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness, and insults, and necessities, and persecutions, and straits, in behalf of Mashiach, or Christ. For as soon as I am weak, then I am powerful. When we read that, I've heard people say that. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. When I'm weak, then I am strong. I've heard songs and stuff like this. We're going to take a look at this. Chapter 9, verse B. Boast in my weakness. Sounds good, but let's just dissect. Why would I boast in my weakness? 10 verse A, it says, take pleasure in weakness. Those two things make no sense. When we're weak, we don't boast, and we don't get glad or take pleasure when we're running out of gas, we're running on fumes. But Paul did. And Yahweh, through Christ, through Paul, wrote these things for you and I. Why? Why would you boast in your weakness? Why would you take pleasure in your weakness? 12 verse 9. I'm going to go back to that. And at once he saith unto me, sufficient for thee is my favor. For my dunamis, Strong's number 1411, inherent power, the power of reproducing itself. Think about that, guys. Nuclear energy. My brother-in-law worked in the military. He says nuclear subs are incredible. He says just a little bit of uranium, they can run 30 years or something like that on a sub. He said they only have to come up for food. That is power, guys. Can you imagine buying a car that you never had to refill with gas? Is that powerful? My dunamis in weakness is made complete. The Greek word for complete. What word is that? Telios. This is Telios Ministries. Telios is to bring to completion. Perfect. I think of the railroad that came from the West Coast to the East Coast in the United States. In the movie The Wild Wild West, they reenacted as they joined these two things together, and they drove in the last peg of the railroad as like a golden stake, and they would do these things. It was the complete, it was the final stake. It was very exciting, the final piece. Yes! You can imagine the final piece of a puzzle. I got it. Anybody take do puzzles in here? Yeah, great stuff. How about building a house or laying sod? How about the final thing with for people that make food? Oh, a little parsley. Perfect. It's complete. My dunamis is made perfect. In what? Weakness. Now that doesn't make any kind of sense, does it? Or does it? Because Christ just says we're going to receive this reproducing power. How do we get it? How do we get that power to be perfect or complete? In weakness. This is very interesting or confusing. We should be looking at situations, not where we are independent of Yahweh. Although that's something we wrestle with every day. If we only had $1 million, if I only had this prayer answer, once I get this one prayer answer, then I'll be fine. I'm single. So I think, well, as soon as I get my wife in my life, all my troubles will be over. All the married people start laughing. They're like, no, you're still going to be lonely when you're married. That's impossible. How can I be lonely when I'm married? One of my clients go, just because you get married doesn't mean you won't be lonely. Really? I just thought as soon as I get this thing fixed, then there'll be no more loneliness. Yeah, it always appears that way. But anyways, we should not be looking for situations where we're independent of Yahweh. Because if I go into situations where I'm strong, I don't need them. We should be looking at situations where we have to draw on Him. I was praying for my son. I was trying to think. I've been praying for all these abilities in his life. Because there's power. There's power in the tongue. I can speak things. I can do things. Just as Christ spoke to the fig tree, so can I, because He lives inside me. And as long as I'm in line with the Word, I have great exousia, or power and authority. I can do these things. So can you. With my son, I don't want any of his abilities to make him independent of Yahweh. So I was trying to think of a way to pray about this, and the word came to me. I put him in situations where he draws on you, Yahweh. That is the biggest ability he can have, to draw on. In financial advising, usually the last thing you want to draw on is your IRA. You have your checking account, you have your income, you have a savings account over here, then you have a liquid account over here, then you have your IRA, don't touch that. The last thing you want to draw on, a lot of Christians are treating Yahweh as some sort of savings account. When all else fails, we'll draw on Him because of our abilities. Yahweh is telling us through the Scriptures that in your weakness is when you actually get really strong. When you run out of gas is when He gets to show up. And when you have nothing to bring to the table, guess who gets all the credit? That's right. And guess who wants all the credit? He does. Perfect. So I was wanting to do a teaching on drawing on Yahweh. Put me in a position to draw on Yahweh, trying to think of things. Going, what would be a good way to walk out in faith? You can imagine somebody go, I want you to go to the grocery store, one of these grocery stores that sells furniture. I want you to, don't look at the list. I want you to buy everything that's on the list, but you don't take your wallet, and I don't want you to even have a car. Maybe take a cab or you walk to the gate. And you get to the grocery store and go through this list, you go, a couch? A couch? Are you kidding me? So you go to the store manager, please have that couch ready for me to buy. A dresser? I go, really, a dresser? I was thinking milk and lettuce. How am I going to do it? I got to go to the store manager. Will you get this dresser ready for me to buy? You look down there. Oh, good. Eggs. Finally, something that I can understand. You go to the eggs, and underneath eggs, it says a diamond ring. Here in Wichita, they have a jewelry store. Very dangerous to be in there. Your wives go in there. Ooh, isn't that interesting? Look at this. Ooh. A diamond ring? I can't do this. Can you imagine how you'd be wrestling? I can't do this. They're setting me up for failure. I mean, you'd feel like that possible. I don't even have a car to take away the couch. That was drawing up. So here's all these concepts that I had. I was really smart, by the way. I was having these concepts to do a teaching. And then last night, I worked extremely late. I had everybody, I asked people to pray for me for an appointment. I went to the appointment, and I walked out flat. It looked like it was completely empty. I told everybody, that they said, how'd your appointment go? And I was asking them to speak in tongues. And I said, well, I sowed seeds. I expect great harvest. But it's almost 7 o'clock at night. I'm exhausted, kind of disappointed. And I'm like, I think I'm going to go home and go to bed now. Exhausted. I'm like, no, you're supposed to work out. Usually you like to work out, but not tonight. You're supposed to work out, Aaron. Okay. I'm way across town, and I get a word that I'm supposed to go to the Andover to work out, which is about 45 minutes from my house. I don't want to drive 45 minutes from my house, even farther away from my house, to go exercise. I'm exhausted. I didn't eat right that day, and I'm stressed out. Nevertheless, I give him, I say, is this your will? If it's your will, I'll do it. I got peaceful, and I have this peace, Aaron. And how he speaks to me is I perceive. I don't necessarily hear audibly, but I perceive. It was like, Aaron, your blessings are this direction. And so I'm reminded obedience is where my blessings are. So I know what blessings I want. So that's all he's got to tell me. I know what I want. But anyways, my blessings are all the way across town. So I go to the gym. I start exercising. I'm exhausted. I haven't eaten right. My body is not reacting. It's embarrassing, really embarrassing to be exercising the way I'm exercising. There's people there that are looking. They don't know who I am. Nobody's saying hi to me. There's a lot of people looking at me crazy. Anyways, I'm lifting these weights. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this exercise. I'm getting out of here. I got to go home. I got to go to bed. I get done doing this exercise, which I did not want to finish. And Yahweh told me, I want you to do this other exercise, 10 more of this, even a harder exercise. And I go, I know that's not you. I haven't eaten. I'm across town. I don't sleep well at night. I gotta go to bed so I can get up. It's already like 9 o'clock at night. You are not telling me to go exercise more. Ha! So I paused to give him a chance to veto it. He goes, your blessings are to do it. And I got down on my knees here in the gym going, I don't want to be here. I'm sick. I'm exhausted. Do you really want me to go do the most difficult exercise, 10 sets of 10? This is you telling me to do it? Because if I hurt myself, you know, what will happen if I hurt myself? Things will never be the same. Now here this is, I'm giving this whole lecture, just in case. And he goes, Aaron, if you dominate, then you're obedient. This was something completely different. If I dominate, what the heck's that supposed to mean? Just to go through the emotions would be incredible. And he told me, if I dominate, I am obedient. And I sat there and go, is that really you? Yeah, dominate. You guys want to, I'm good at pictures and illustrations. I was a moped running on fumes an hour away from my house. I'm going to have to try to drive a moped home. It's not even running right. And all of a sudden he goes, hey, do you love me, Aaron? Lord, you know I love you. I'll do anything you want. Good. Do you really love me? Yes. Then you'll obey me, right? Because it says, John 14:14, if you love me, you'll obey me. You know that, right? Yes, I'm very familiar with the scripture you just cited. Then you'll obey me. Okay, what do you want? I want you to tow a mobile home. With what? With your moped. Get a mind picture. I want somebody to Photoshop a moped towing a mobile home. Not just a moped, some junky, beat up, because that's where I was. My body was beat up and broke down. And I look at this and I'm going, this cannot be you. This cannot be you. Things are going to break. There's no way I'm going to finish this. The whole time I forgot that I'm getting ready to do a teaching about putting yourself in a position to draw on Him where you have nothing to bring. I forgot about this. Mm-hmm. I get to the position to do this lift. I have to walk up and down with these dumbbells, doing these walking lunges with this weight, and it's exhausting. I have to stop. I'm about ready to collapse. Things aren't working. I'm listening to music. People are looking at me like, that dude looks like he'd be a lot stronger than that. Everybody's giving me that look. Okay, I'm like, great. Anyways, I get done with one, and I go to Father, is this what you really want? He didn't answer me. I knew what he wanted. I do two, and I'm about ready to vomit. I'm exhausted. I have nothing. I said, I can't believe I did two. I did three. I got done with three. I don't know if I can do four. I finally ended up doing four, and I was incredibly excited with myself that I had done four lifts. I was told to do 10. I walked down. I didn't walk. I crawled down the stairs to go get some Gatorades. I chugged three Gatorades because my body was just jacked up. I had no energy in it. I went back upstairs. I had six left. And I was like, he should be very thankful with me because I did four. Anyways, I sit there and I was like, do you really want me to go four? I knew what I was supposed to do. Yeah. I put my music back on my earphones. And you know when he's talking to you, a miracle. Other people might not understand the miracle, but you know what it means. You know exactly what it means. I put my song, and a song starts. And you know what the song is? Six. How many sets did I have left? Six. It just started, and it was by a new music I just bought, Creed. It's 6 feet, and the whole song is "Hold Me Now." I'm 6 feet from the edge. 6 feet, six. And I'm like, okay, you got me. I got six left. I'm fine. I'll do it. Whatever. Oh, what's the point of this? This is embarrassing. I'm gonna hurt myself. So I got into it, and then I was reminded, Aaron, don't go through the motions. You're obedient if you dominate. Mm-hmm. Dominate. Again, I forgot I was going to be doing teaching on drawing on Yahweh, putting yourself in a position to draw on Him, like Moses. I did one more set. That was five. I did another set. It was six. All of them, it was excruciating pain. It was not easy. I did seven. I got to eight. I got to nine. And by this time, there's this really young guy. A bunch of people keep looking at me. They look really cocky. And they're looking at me going, I thought this dude would be a lot stronger than that. It was one of those nights. I'm like, quit looking at me. I don't even want to be here. It's embarrassing. But the guy, one of the young guys who'd been looking at me, he looked really cocky, rips off his shirt and throws it down. He starts looking in the mirror. Oh, look at that cocky guy. He's just driving me nuts. And I was really irritable. I finished nine, and he walks up to me. He goes, man, you're in great shape. I wasn't expecting a compliment from this guy. I was actually really irritated by him. And he starts talking to me. And he's cussing a lot. He's about 20 years old. He's cussing this and this and that. He went here and here. And he's talking about the different things, where he is in life and this and other stuff. And basically, he found out that I'm like a minister. I'm like an evangelist. And he goes, oh my goodness, I should be cussing the way I've been cussing. He starts opening up his story. He says, about 3 years ago, I almost committed suicide. my best friend died, and my girlfriend broke up with me, and I went to Central Christian Church, and there's a pastor, he saved my life. He goes, I was this close to dying. And he goes, I went to that church, and this guy gave me a sermon. So what he was trying to talk me into is going to Central Christian Church, and I listened to this guy. He goes, I had great grades, this and this and that, yada yada, but the last 3 years have been a blur. I walked away from my town, I walked away from school. He goes, and this guy just starts dumping. I'm a womanizer now. I quit college. Here this is. I got a $35,000 brand new Corvette out there, but this isn't me. He works for Schofield. And I'm looking at this guy. Light bulb. This is what I was here for. Mm-hmm. And I start coaching him. I start with the word and stuff. And because what really got his attention, I started saying, I'm on Jesus Christ. The most powerful supplement in the world is right inside here. It's Christ Jesus. I told him that when I got into the word, it was when I was 19 years old. I always felt that Jesus Christ and I didn't have a whole lot in common. Let's just be honest. I'm 19. I play football. I lift weights. I like practical jokes. Jesus Christ likes to go off and be holy. That's what I thought. I only see him on like maybe Sundays. But we really don't have a whole lot in common. Have you ever had somebody sit down and take an interest in you guys? Somebody that you really looked up to, and they sit down, maybe it was an uncle, maybe it was an aunt, maybe it was a pastor, and you go, really? You're interested in me? Man, I didn't even think that you were interested in me at all. And as it explained, that I was 19 years old, I didn't think Christ was interested in me at all. I didn't think I had anything to bring to the table. But I really wanted a bench press. And he knew exactly what that meant. He goes, that's me. He goes, everybody thinks I'm nuts. I go, I wanted a bench press. That's what got me started in this direction of my life. And I went to the bathroom and I came back out. He goes, dude, you got to quit talking. I'm going to start crying. So he walked off. It's about 9:30. The gym's getting ready to close. I went into the bathroom. That's when Yahweh said, Aaron, he's at the same age you were when you answered the call. At first I said, that's the same age I was when I received my calling. I got corrected. No. It was not when you received your calling. It's when you answered the call. Mm-hmm. You just didn't pick up the phone until you're 19 years old. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Okay. I came back out and here he was. I was the same age as you. Yada, here's this and this and that. And he starts receiving these things. I started building them up. It's not too late. Here this is, whatever. The gym's getting ready to close. They're shutting things down. He's looking at me. He feels a little bit cornered. And I went to go walk. Oh yeah. And I get done witnessing to him. And I was like, I got one lift yet. One lift left out of the 10 I was told to do. I was told to go be obedient. And this young 20-year-old, 19-year-old kid looking at me with his eyes this big as he's being witnessed, and Christ is a messenger had been sent to him. I was thinking of Philip and the eunuch. All of a sudden, and he was like, this is the encounter he was waiting for, or whatever, I don't know. I went back to go finish. And I grabbed my, I was going to grab my dumbbells. I put the music on. The last time I put the music on, it started with 6. I had 6 left. And I knew what that meant. It was Yahweh giving me the confirmation what I was supposed to do. I put on the next, my headphones again. And guess what the song was? 1. Only 1. The only way is 1 by Creed. I knew exactly what it meant. This wasn't a coincidence. I knew exactly what it meant. And I was like, this is what you asked me to do. It wasn't even necessarily about lifting weights. This was the end of me. This was the beginning of you. I was here. This guy was here the whole time I was lifting. I look over. I go, this is the reason why I was here? I've been here for like an hour and a half doing a lift that usually takes 30 minutes. This was it. I got really excited. I went to go put up the dumbbells. And I came back to him. And as I put up the dumbbells, I was like, should I give this guy a prophecy? Normally I just go right at it, but I was kind of, should I? And I wasn't sure. And Yahweh says, let him make a decision. I believe. I usually don't do that because usually that's just a cop out. By the way, oh, I'll let them make a decision. Guess what? They're never going to make that decision. Just 411. I walk back up to him, and he looks at me with these eyes. And he goes, man, I didn't know people like you existed. I thought I was just. I don't have anything to bring to the table. Now here you are, and now my life's getting turned upside down. And I said, I got to talk. I said, I'm getting ready to leave. I got to talk. And I started coaching this guy up. I coached this guy up. And then I went into a prophecy. I said, I'm going to pray. Do you mind if I pray? He looks around. He's like, no, that's fine. This guy has never been praying in a gym in the middle. Everybody's staring at us, wanting to know, hey, guys, TikTok, get out of here. I give him a prophecy, and this is what's so neat. I'll reveal some of the prophecy was. Some of the prophecy said, when you were in sports, you saw other players who really responded well to negative reinforcement. But it never worked with you. It always drove you nuts when coaches tried to do it, because it worked just the opposite. You needed positive reinforcement. You've always known that, and you quit sports because the negative reinforcement doesn't work with you. So why do you use negative reinforcement on yourself? Was his prophecy. You of all people that know you don't respond to it are using negative reinforcement for yourself. You're being way too hard on yourself. You need to start using positive reinforcement. And here comes the rest of this thing. And I open my eyes and this guy's looking at me going. And he gives me his business card. And I said, we need to get in contact. I said, this is what I do. Anyway, I walk out and I was like, that was it. And then as I get in the car, drawing on Yahweh, putting yourself in a position where you have nothing to offer. I was getting ready to do a teaching, but I wasn't. I was at a crossroads. But you really want to teach it on air? I want you to do it first. Mm-hmm. No, I just want to teach on it. Do it first. Oh boy! But it worked out, and I drove. The guy gave me a text message, and he goes, "For 3 years, my life has been confusion. I've been running from Yahweh for 3 years." He's 19 years old. 3 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. I'd given up. I've become somebody that I'm not. I'm surrounding myself with people that are not my friends, and I know that they don't love me. And he goes, I know that God, in his words, I know God sent you to me for this. And I respond, I said, amen. He did. He not just sent me. He sent me across town just for you. So I said, you're in a state of confusion. You feel like the position you are in is completely hopeless. What's the point of even getting started? That's why he sent me to you. We're going to do this together. His response here is his long text. It's 11:30. I didn't get home until like midnight last night. But I got that testimony. And so he'd say, usually what we do is we think of a moped towing a U-Haul or a moped towing a... That's exactly what we should be doing. Put me in that position! That's what I want. No, that's not what I want. Make yourself do it. Confess these things. Do these things. I was so exhausted. I was so weak. I'd become self-centered. I had nothing to bring to the table. And that's when Yahweh and Yahushua spoke up. His name was Zachary. God dealt. Here's all these prophecies. And here's a complete stranger. And he sent me all these text messages, which was incredible, guys. But it was only at the end of me. Many times in our life, here's what we end up doing is, maybe not you, but we get into a position of panic. And we panic because we're in a position that we're weak. We don't make good decisions when we panic or when we're weak. Okay? Mm-hmm. But what do we do when we get panicked and when we're weak? We have a tendency to start praying then. We should position ourselves to draw on Yahweh. We should position ourselves to draw on Yahweh and to not make ourselves independent of Yahweh. Adam thought he would make himself independent of Yahweh. Look how that worked out. Samson thought he was independent. Now, we don't want to do that. We want to be in a position going, I want more of you, more of you. When we're in a position to panic about a situation, now we're weak. We can't help anybody because we're weak. We're panicking. We got to help ourselves. That's what we got. We're a drowning rat right now. What do we usually do? We feel like we can't help anyone. We bring nothing to the table, right? That's what we feel like. We have an old man inside you who's a liar. Adam, the first Adam, the one who kicked Yahweh out of the Garden of Eden. Yeah. He lives inside of us. We have his genetics. Our mother and father, the reason why we deal with sin and lust of the flesh and this wrestling, this war inside of us, is because our father, Adam and Eve, sold us into this slavery. And Christ came to deliver us from that. So we're fighting slavery every single day. I love what my father taught me. I was like, that explains a war. We were sold into slavery. But 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, when I am weak, my dunamis is made teleos. My power that will not run out is made perfect when I am weak. It sure doesn't feel that way, does it? We should be Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing. It doesn't say without faith it is hard to be well-pleasing to Yahweh. Do you want to please our Heavenly Father and His Son? Yes, I do. I think they're very happy with my life. Well, maybe it is. You know a tree by its fruit. How much faith do you produce a day? If you're living a life that does not require a lot of faith, don't be too hard on yourself, but just note to self, I need to start requiring more faith each day. Get in exercise. Like one guy, he wouldn't bring lunch money. He would expect Yahweh to pay for his lunch. That's great. Just start something. And he'll work with what he's got. But if you want to be more well-pleasing, you need faith. When you're weak, that's when you need faith. And if we're in a life where many times we're praying, we're saying, oh my goodness, just put me in a life where it's just easy. Yeah. It's easy. I want a wife and kids that does everything I tell them to. Yeah, that's what easy. Everybody obeys me. Easy, right? I want a pension plan where I never run out of money. Easy, right? Well, that's what we kind of think. But basically what we'll do sometimes, if we're not careful, is we're saying, we want a life that doesn't require faith. That means our life won't be well-pleasing. What do we need to do for more faith or more power? So here's a recipe. Here's a recipe for all of us. This is great. Write these things down. Memorize this thing. This is not my recipe. Each one of us, just for a second, think about the matter that you are losing peace over. Think about that one thing, that one seat at the table that's not filled in your life. What's not answered? Think about your thing. All of us have something that's not being answered. And then when we think about it, we have a hopeless feeling. It feels like a lost cause. And one of the words for Zachary last night was that Yahweh wanted to talk to him about the really, really sensitive things, the things that he won't even talk to anybody about because they're so sensitive. I'm like, ooh, wow, that's neat. Now just pick one of those topics. What do we do about that topic? Specifically when we lose faith, we lose hope. Sometimes we lose hope with a situation, so we just wish that thing goes away because it makes us vulnerable. And then a year later, it pops up. And he literally, why does this thing go away? Because it's making me vulnerable. I don't even want this thing. A lot of times, you know why it doesn't go away? Because it's not your dream. It's his dream. And he's not giving up on his dream. And that's why it doesn't go away. So you sit there and go, this is an impossible thing. Why would I want this thing? It's impossible? You have nothing to bring to the table? Perfect. Perfect. Turn to Philippians, the 4th chapter. So what we're going to practice on here, this exercise, is how to bring certain things to a table or to an altar to find out what do we do with this thing. Specifically those sensitive things that we're like, I don't even like to talk about it because I'm giving up hope, but it won't go away. Is this you? Am I shooting at stars here? Come on here. I don't want to be disappointed with that situation. Usually what happens is with these dreams in our life, this is what happens. At least with me. First, I become anxious. So I pray. I want my peace back. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he gives me peace, I'll rejoice and I'll thank him. So I sit there. I don't really want to talk to anybody about this. I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. So then I resort to praying. And I want peace. And as soon as I get peace on the situation, well, then I'll rejoice. Just give me what I want and then I'll rejoice. Give it to me. I know. You know what I want. I know what I want. I don't even know why I have to say it out loud. He goes, be seeking, be asking, be confessing. He wants a relationship. A husband and a wife, they want. A husband could read his wife's diary. But if he's a godly man, he doesn't want to have to resort to reading her diary to finding out what she wants. He says, what do you want? What can I do? And the wife says, I want this. He goes, I don't know how to do that. She goes, okay, we'll work on it. Then the wife goes, what do you want from me? Oh, boy, I'm making myself really vulnerable here. You want this? This is where marriage counseling is good. People should be working on it. Yahweh wants the same thing with you and I. What do you want? Everybody needs a dream. He puts things in your life that won't go away. Why? Because why won't it go away, this impossible thing? Because it's going to require him. Mm-hmm. It's going to require him. Perfect. Philippians 4:4. Here's your formula. First, find a topic. Use this exercise. What is it you've given up hope on that stresses you out? You don't have any peace. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord, or Yahweh, always. Again, I say rejoice. First, you rejoice, and then rejoice again. First step. You ever want to cook something? I had my mom talk to me once. She goes, if you actually read the recipe and followed the directions of the recipe, you'd be surprised what you can cook. Oh, I always think that I can make it a little bit better. Yeah, most men do. Just follow the directions, Aaron. Oh, okay. First thing, rejoice and rejoice. Second thing, well, then verse 5, let your considerateness be known unto all men. Yahweh is near. Second thing, first thing, rejoice and rejoice again. Set something on the altar. Rejoice and rejoice again. Sing a song to him. Make yourself excited. Turn on the open lights, like with your smile. Open up the blinds with your smile. Sing something to him with all you got. Rejoice and rejoice again. Get in your prayer closet. Second thing. What else? Okay, what am I going to do next with this recipe? For nothing be anxious. For nothing be anxious. Change your countenance. When Nehemiah, he went before the king, and the king looked at him and goes, his countenance was changed. He wasn't supposed to do that before the king. We're walking into the Holy Holy like this. We can't talk. For nothing be anxious. Okay, change your countenance. Rejoice, rejoice again. Number two, nothing be anxious, but in everything by your prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your petitions be made known. Step three, then you pray. Let your petitions be made known. One, rejoice and rejoice again. Number two, don't be anxious. Number three, then you pray. Let your petitions be made known. Then you get to bring up the topic. Step four, and the peace of God, which rises above every man mind, shall guard the hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. This is a topic you don't have any peace with. Want to know how you get peace? Rejoice. Rejoice again. Don't be anxious. Then you talk about it in your prayer, and then you receive the peace. In your weakness, then you are made strong. And here's the formula. So there's something that was in my life, and I was sitting there, and it was one of these unanswered prayers. And then I was like, I need the peace that passes all understanding. That's the King James Version. How do I get that on this subject? And then I read this. I was like, you got to kid me. That's pretty easy. Boy, why do I have to rejoice and rejoice first? That requires faith, right? So at the end of me is the beginning of Yahweh. And so now Elijah is going to do a teaching. So Elijah, why don't you come over here? And then we'll close with a word of prayer.
I'm going to do the verse.
Yeah, or whatever, okay. Your verse.
To you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul. O my Elohim, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Yahweh, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the Elohim of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Psalms 25, 1 through 5.
Let's just stay right there. We'll go and close. We thank Heavenly Father for my brother, Elijah Gunner Cunningham. We thank you for him exercising such great strength and his courage, and we thank you for everybody that's here. We thank you for your word, for Telios Ministries that makes all these things possible, and for my brothers and sisters and all the people that are supporting us. We thank you for the people that are watching right now, Daniel, and for Kylie and Amy. We also thank you for Rachel and Billy who's watching, and David. And we thank you also for Jacob. And we thank you for all these things through Christ Jesus. Well, if you need anything, please give us contact. We'll be teaching next week at Tim's house at the same time, 7 o'clock. And I'll give one last prophecy. My sons and my daughters, know that I have great plans for you. What you must understand is it doesn't matter what you bring to the table. It matters who you are with. If you remind yourself that it is me, I'm right there beside you. Adam and Eve were naked in a garden. Nevertheless, they are with me. What did they lack? Nothing. Neither will you ever lack anything. Learn how to rely upon me. Learn how to take walks with me. Stick your hand out. Stick your hand out and hold my hand. Be silly for me. Humble your heart, and as you do so, I will give you the peace, and I'll explain how I will meet all your needs. The confusion that's in your life and your heart, I do not want it there, and you don't want it there. Allow me to minister to you the way a doctor would minister to you. You humble yourself to go to a doctor's office. You change your clothes, and you let them do things that you would not let other people do. Now let me work on your body and your life, because I have wonderful abundance for you. I have peace for you. I am the solution to all your dreams. If you come with me, your life will never get better. The adventures that you watch on TV, the adventures that you read, cannot compare to the adventure that I plan for you. Amen.